You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you are challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series on the imitation of Christ.
Now looking at guard of humility and thinking humbly.
For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Now here's today's teaching.
This is our 18th devotional lesson from the Imitation of Christ. Today we'll be looking at chapter 7 in book 3 on the guard of humility and chapter 2 from book 1 on thinking humbly of oneself. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. That's from 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. We begin with the words of Christ. My friend, it is better and safer to keep your devotional life hidden and not boast about it. Do not speak much about yourself, nor have pride in your devotions. Rather humble yourself and realize that you are unworthy of grace. And do not depend too much on spiritual emotions, for they can quickly turn to the opposite feeling. When you are sensing abundant grace, think about how miserable and poor you'd be without it. And if you desire to keep advancing in your spiritual life, don't neglect prayer if the sense of grace is taken from you. React to this humbly and patiently. Maintain your spiritual exercises so you will gain more strength and knowledge during this time. Do not neglect yourself because of this barren time with its anxiety of spirit. And let me just pause right there. The first encouragement for us is to keep our devotional life hidden. Now, to be modest, I think this is what Jesus is speaking about in chapter 6 of Matthew, right? About praying, you know, not praying on the street corner and not blowing a trumpet when you give money and whatever we're doing. If we're fasting, don't make it obvious. We need to be modest in our personal devotional life. Obviously, that doesn't mean we can never talk about it or share about it. And I'll do that, but we're not supposed to trumpet ourselves. And then he also gives us a warning not to depend too much on emotions, because there are times when we may feel like praying, and yet very quickly that can turn to the opposite feeling. And so even if we don't feel it, just keep going. It'll come back, and realize that hard times can turn out to be occasions for spiritual strengthening. That's great. Continue. It's God's privilege to give and comfort whom he wishes, when he wishes, as much as he wishes. Some who become presumptuous because of the grace poured out on them have destroyed themselves. They tried to do more than they were able. They did not consider how weak they really were. They followed the impulses of their heart rather than the judgment of reason. And because they presumed to do more than was pleasing to God, they quickly lost his favor. What's going on here? Christ is encouraging us not to be overextended, not to think too highly of what we should be doing. It's possible to be maxed out in a bad way. I mean, yes, we want to make the most of the time, and that's a biblical theme, but we only have so much strength. And even then, certain things are our strengths and others are not. So we don't want to underestimate or undercontribute, but to overrate our spiritual strength, to take on things that God never intended us to take responsibility for. That is not wise either. You know, Romans 12:3 speaks of that modest view of ourselves. Continuing, they became poor and sinful, for they tried to build a nest in the heavens. That's an allusion to the prophets. For example, Obadiah, when we reach too high. They were humbled and brought back to earth with poverty so they might learn not to fly with their own wings, but put their trust in his feathers. Those who are young and not wise in the way of the Lord must place themselves under the counsel of the wise. Otherwise, they will be easily deceived and led astray. He realizes we need mentors. They will make us wiser, less likely to be deceived. Someone we can talk to openly about what we feel and plan and do. But if they wish to follow their own fantasies rather than trust the experience of others, the result will be very dangerous to them. Must not depend on their own ideas. Those who are wise in their own eyes seldom submit to the authority of others. It's better to have a small amount of wisdom and little understanding with humility than great human knowledge with vain self-esteem. It's better for you to have less than much of what may make you proud. People who give themselves for earthly pleasure are not wise. They've forgotten their former helplessness, the pure reverence of the Lord, and fear of losing my grace offered. Nor are people very wise who in times of adversity or in time of any kind of trouble despair and do not trust me fully as they should. People who seek security and earthly peace instead will be in despair and full of fear. But if you learn humbly with self-control, if you rule and guide with your own spirit well, you would not so quickly fall into danger and disgrace. When the flames of devotion are within your soul, it is wise to consider how it will be with you when the light is taken away. And when the light is extinguished, remember that eventually the light will return. I have taken away the light as a warning, so you will trust in me and not the light. Such a trial is often more useful than if you had lived a prosperous life by your own efforts. That hits me. The idea that the light, you know, we may have the flames of devotion, so there's the heat and there's the light, but then the flames may die down or the light may be extinguished. And in a way, that's better than just being prosperous, successful all the time, because that makes us put our trust in ourselves. We get impressed with ourselves. Not good. Next, he's going to warn us not to be too impressed with others. Let's finish off this reading. Do not consider people great who have had many visions and blessing, who are skilled in the scriptures or placed in high positions. God considers you great if you are grounded upon true humility, are filled with divine love, and always sincerely seek to honor God with an upright life. If you've not isolated yourselves from others, and have rejoiced to be despised and humbled by others rather than to be honored. So we're not to be so easily impressed with other people's apparent spirituality. It may not be spirituality. True greatness is not about looking good or being honored, but it means humility, love, virtue, being connected with others. In other words, things are not what they seem. You know, so we're not supposed to be too impressed with other people's spirituality, because God's the judge, but even with our own. And that leads to a kind of a modesty about our spiritual lives, how we discuss it, what we share, decisions we make. Humility is not just something you put on when you talk. It's not a way you change your voice or hang your head down. It really has to do with every decision we make. And that's the humility that Christ seeks. Well, there's one more crucial truth. And this will emerge from our second reading, which from chapter 1. That's quite a bit shorter than the first one. But let's just jump in. This is from the disciple. And there's a reference to Romans 12:3. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. So we're still on this theme of humility. Every person has a natural desire to gain knowledge. But what is the benefit of knowledge without the reverence of God? Lowly peasants who serve God have a greater reward than conceited intellectuals who set their sights on higher learning but neglect to know themselves. People who know themselves know their shortcomings and don't take the praises of others seriously. If I knew all the knowledge of the entire world and was not living in love, how would that help me before God, who will judge me according to my deeds? We should not wear ourselves out with an unhealthy desire for knowledge, for we will find ourselves distracted and deceived. We may seek knowledge, appear learned, and be called wise, but there is much we can learn that does not benefit our soul in any way. And if we study hard those things that do not contribute to the health of our soul, we are immeasurably foolish. Many wise words do not satisfy the soul, but a righteous life refreshes the mind, and a clear conscience assures great confidence before God. Now here, he's challenging our conceit, particularly the conceit that comes with knowledge. The greater and more advanced our knowledge, the more severely we will be judged, unless we have a holy life. So let us not exalt ourselves with the skills and knowledge we can acquire, but guard the holy knowledge we have been given. It seems we know many things and understand them well, know also there are many other things which we do not know. We must not be high-minded, but confess our ignorance. Why do we want to lift ourselves above another person when we may learn that they are more knowledgeable in understanding of Scripture than we are? To know and learn anything that is helpful, be content to be unknown and not respected. Yeah, that surprising theme. I mean, how often do you hear that in church today? The preacher saying we should aim to be unknown and not respected. And that's not the same as acting disrespectfully, but it's not about our glory. Okay, there's just one more paragraph. The highest and most beneficial lesson is to consider others wiser and more knowledgeable than we are. To think less of ourselves and more highly and kindly of others is the way to be truly great and wise. Even if we see our neighbors sin openly and shamefully, we shouldn't consider ourselves better than them, because we don't know how long we can maintain our own integrity. All of us are weak and frail, so don't consider anyone less spiritual than yourself. Well, I feel challenged. Let's just do a quick review. Akempis urges modesty concerning our own personal life, our devotional life. He urges us to keep praying, even if we don't feel like it. Don't be ruled by emotion. Thirdly, to have the insight that hard times, dry times, times when maybe the fire seems to have gone down a bit, they can actually be occasions for getting stronger. We're not to overrate our spiritual strength or underrate it. It's no virtue to be overextended. Fifthly, we all need mentors. They make us wiser, less likely to be led into sin and deceived. Sixth, don't be easily impressed by others' apparent spirituality. You want to look at greatness? Greatness is humility. And obviously, humility doesn't call attention to itself. It doesn't say, hey, look at me, I'm an example of greatness. Love, humility, virtue, and so forth. And that the last crucial truth, which comes especially from that second reading, those who teach others who have knowledge will be judged more strictly. And maybe you're not serving God the way you used to in the past. You have a knowledge of what to do, but you're not doing it. Or you've studied the Scriptures intensively, but you're not really spending much time teaching others, whether the young, seekers, non-Christians, unbelievers. You're not reaching out. You're not sharing. That's a pretty serious thing. How did he put it? The greater and more advanced our knowledge, the more severely we will be judged unless we live a holy life. Okay, let's take these challenges with us. I'll close us in a prayer, and I hope you'll be back tomorrow for our next devotion, which comes from Book 3, Chapter 43. Let's pray. Lord, we're challenged how this medieval monk could put together all these lessons, and human nature hasn't changed, and we realize that we are too easily led astray and deceived. We're too easily satisfied with our efforts or even impressed with ourselves or with others. Pray that we'll continue to get much out of this series. As we're at the two-thirds mark right now, help us to continue to drink in the truths that you want us to learn, and give us a strong day, a powerful day in your Son. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's series on the imitation of Christ.
For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.